Okay. Well, I want to welcome everybody. First, I want to ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Amen. Today, we're going to cover the most important paragraphs that have changed my life. But just a few things. Tomorrow night we are starting the family afterwards, which is not studied a lot, but it has so much information on how an alcoholic or people who live with alcoholics should practice a spiritual life, and actually all human beings. The spiritual principles of living are in that chapter. Remember, it says that step 12, we have to practice these principles in all our affairs. And those principles are throughout the book, but they're many of them are in the chapter to wives, the family afterwards, employers and vision for you. So we'll be starting that on Sunday, and when we finish the vision for you, we'll start the book over. On Wednesday night, we're at a different part of the book. And we had started over, I think, for the 10th or 11th time. I can't keep track anymore. I'm old. But we covered pages 20 to 22, which talks about our body and our physical allergy to alcohol and why we're powerless. Anybody have that? Put it in our body. We are screwed. And now the big book is going to tell us in the next few pages what's wrong with our mind. And those pages, and there's a solution, there's the hammer home powerless. And then that chapter has where we got the solution from a psychiatrist in Switzerland in 1932, and he brought it to this man who brought the Oxford Group, who gave it the bill. And then, because they know we're alcoholics, and we still think we have some power, they have a whole chapter in the big book called More About Alcoholism, which is designed to tell me one thing. At certain times, my mind will tell me to drink, and even though I don't want to, I will drink. And it ends with the famous paragraph that Ed likes to quote, that our defense must come from a higher power with capital HP, not me, meaning God. By the way, higher power in the big book, it's only used a couple times. It refers to God. Bill wrote in the 12 and 12 about making the group and this and that your higher power. We're not going to say whether that's good or bad. But in the big book, the expression higher power is God, the way it's used in reference. And it says your defense must come from him. And then we have the chapter, We Agnostics, which is to tell us about God, where God is, our relationship with God, change our minds, change the way we see him. Then we have the How It Works preamble, which we read today, right, which tells us the how we find the power to live. And then we read the third step and studied that here, remember? And the third step is a decision that I'm not going to be my higher power. I'm going to have a relationship with the higher power, and he's going to be my director, and I'm going to work for him. Everybody think that's a good idea? Good. Now, you can make that decision all day long and have a screwed up life, because it says he will give me everything I need in my direction, my spiritual power to live, if I stay close to him and do his work well. That's the most powerful maybe sentence in the book, because that's what scripture's all about, right, Norm? And that's what it's all about. So how do I stay close to him and do his work well? And that's what the rest of the book is about, the directions. And then we say the prayer. We all like the third step prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a warning. It says, remember. It's interesting how I have all this memorized. I don't know. My wife asked me last night what we're going to talk about, and we're doing 60, and I started to recite the thing. She says, okay, enough already. And so anyway, it says after we say the third step prayer, it says, remember. We thought well before taking this step, making sure I'm going to give myself, abandon myself completely. And then they say, this is a great decision. Good job, guys. But it's not going to have any effect unless next and at once followed by a vigorous course of action. And the course of action is where we are today. And the course of action is how we are, allow ourselves, and Ed gave me this thing about letting go, how we allow ourselves when we're separated from God to have God work in our lives so we don't have to be separated. And there are three ways we separate from God. One, we get angry. Anybody do that? And we get angry because we're playing God. Then we have fear. Why do we have fear? I'm not talking about fear rattlesnakes. I'm talking about self-centered fear is because we're playing God, right? And then, I don't know about you, but we have relationship issues. And you know, one of the bad things about being retired is you can look back on your life, you have more time. And like yesterday, I was thinking about something and said, wow, why did I do that? What was that all about? This was when I was 26. I said, well, good. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. But we may have relationship issues. Why? Because we're playing God and we're running people's lives and how they should react to us. And so then it says, we look at the manifestations of self, my playing God, that are killing me. And we want to face and be rid of them, and we're going to inventory them. Now, I don't know how they wrote these pages on 64 to 68. Well, let's make it 72. They are brilliant. I don't know how they came up with the way that they put their thoughts together with the columns and each line, but it wasn't Bill W. sitting at home one day in his kitchen writing this. There were a lot of people that had information. Reverend Shoemaker, the Oxford Group steps, the Oxford Group meetings, and their literature. And so we say resentment is the number one offender. It's the number one offender of my relationship with God, my serenity and peace, my relationship with the world, or my relationship with people and with myself, right? And it talks about how we're going to look at that on page 64. And then it talks about the instructions. And it tells us, it told me that I have a spiritual illness. Wow. People come in here and they know they have trouble drinking, and they usually have a list of five or six people that got them here, caused their life to be a mess, right? And they're very certain of that, but they don't realize that the problem is their spiritual illness causes them to have an obsession of the mind to drink, and then when we drink, we have the allergy of the body. And it says, when the spiritual illness, the separation from God, is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And then the whole rest of the steps is how I straighten out mentally and physically by straightening out spiritually all day long. And Paula talked about it today at her birthday. How do we recognize when we're separated from the big guy and get back, or could be big woman, how do we get back to the relationship with him? And if we don't, we're out there, and we don't feel good. And so it says, we listed them on paper. It's a very complicated system. You know, people make their four-step things on the internet. You can spend your whole life analyzing yourself. Let me give you a hint. The purpose of the four-step is to not get a spiritual fitness about your relationship with yourself. You get it? What's going on?
Sorry. I have no idea. It's on silent.
Power button.
It's no, I love you, Holly.
Sorry.
I love Holly. I think Holly was at one of my first meetings.
I upstaged by an audiobook, Mike.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, it says we list them on paper, those who we were angry at. It's very simple. And people make the four steps so complicated. We're going to see how simple it is. So you do that. You list all these people that you're angry at, institutions. And you just write the names. You do that first. Then you write why you're angry. A few sentences, because we really don't care. Because most of the time, it's not even true. It's how we see things. But we want to write it down, so we put it on paper, so somebody can look at it with you. Because once it's on paper, you can't change it. It's there. And there's a therapeutic value about doing that. Now, I guess you could do it on a computer now. I don't know. It says paper here. And it doesn't tell you what kind of ink to use. And then it says, why were you angry? You wrote what they did, But we always are threatened in some way. Now, I never knew that. Somehow I'm threatened, fear, when I get angry at somebody or some institution. And why? Because they're threatening my ambitions, my pocketbook, my security, my sex relationships, my ambitions, what I think I need to be happy. So when you get upset with somebody who you're waiting in line behind because they have 50 coupons, right? And they don't know that I'm Michael the Magnificent. I shouldn't have to wait behind them. It's this false sense of self-esteem, and actually it's my insecurity that makes me feel angry at them that I have to wait for them. It's too complicated. All the point is that it's part of my alcoholism, self-centeredness. And all my fears are related to that, and then I get angry. Does everybody understand that? And then he wrote these three examples here that are really pretty funny when you look at him, because he's angry at the guy who had who told his wife of his mistress. Does that sound like alcoholism? And then, oh, that son of a bitch. He told my wife about my mistress. What a miserable guy. Well, you know, of course, we're having an affair, and that's okay. But we don't want our wife to know about it. I mean, it's very good. He wrote these examples, and it's always my self-esteem that's threatened, and he has fear next to self-esteem. Self-esteem is how I think the world sees me. I see myself, good or bad, and I'm always afraid they're not seeing me well enough. I wanted approval my whole life. Anybody else want that? I want everybody to approve me. So an example is somebody may get up and leave in 10 minutes. And I'll say, oh, that asshole. They didn't like this meeting. They don't like what I'm saying. Anybody else would think of that? I may not, but I'm saying alcoholics can do that, right? Now, I don't know that they just got a text that their son has in the ER with appendicitis, right? But it's all about Michael, right? So it had to be something about me that they left early. Now, I don't know if everybody's staring at me, but but can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's so preposterous. And here's the sad thing, I lived my whole life like that. So I was always being threatened, and I was always getting angry. All right, so we read last week, we spent 2 weeks on this, and we looked at the powerful paragraphs on page 66. And in summary, it says the people were always wrong, right? And fancied are real, and that's all I could ever see. And then it says, it's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. And I will say that a life which includes any resentment leads to futility and unhappiness. But they're talking here about looking at your life for the first time. You're an alcoholic, you're doing this for the first time. Now, like when Ed and John and I do it today, we look at our anger right in the minute, and we see how it's futile and it's just gonna make me unhappy. But you don't know that when you're on page 66 and you're new, and you're gonna learn powerful information. And to the precise extent that I permit this, so I permitted myself to be futile and unhappy. Isn't that a son of a bitch? I mean, it was me. It had nothing to do with them. I permitted myself, and I squandered my life. I look back on your life. Look at all the how many bad decisions you made because of anger. Anybody else do that? It says, but with the alcoholic whose hope, here's my hope, I want to maintain and grow a spiritual experience. So what I want to do is grow spiritually the rest of my life. We talked about that. Spiritual progress, right? It's a journey. If I want to do that, resentment's going to kill me. Now, it's not only grave is bad, it's infinitely grave. So what's beyond infinitely grave? So the alcoholic says, well, it's not infinitely grave, right? You're reading this the first time. Well, guess what the next line says? It's fatal. It's gonna kill me. It kills me today if I get angry at the food store or driving or at something my wife says or anybody. It is separating me from God. It's killing me spiritually. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live like that. Like Ed says, I want to feel good, right? I can't feel good if I'm angry. Now it says it's fatal. And it, when I harbor these feelings, so I could get angry or feel anger, but I harbor it. What does that mean? A harbor is a safe place. I put it in a safe place here because I don't want anybody to bother that one. And I want to tell you, when you meet with new people who have deep-seated resentments, they put these things in safe harbor. And if you try to get between their harbor and the truth, they get angry at you. So the only people you can really help are the ones who want to get help, the ones who are willing to look at it from a different angle and be rid of it. And when I harbor it, I set myself off from the sunlight of the Spirit, capital S. And I don't want to be in the darkness. In the darkness, I'm with Michael. It's the way I lived my whole life before I came in here. I don't want to do that anymore. Anybody else agree with that? Yeah. So I shut myself off from the sunlight of the Spirit. You see, this paragraph is telling us it's me. I'm the one that permitted this. I put in safe harbor. I'm the one who did this. Now it says, if I do that, the insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. How many people have gone back or started drinking again because of anger? So many. Almost everybody in this room, I'm sure. And with us, to drink is to die. Now, and you can also die without drinking. And we've had birthdays today and other times, and I've heard so many people, and I think it was true of me for the first 5 years before I found the Joe and Charlie, that you could be an alcoholic a long time and be spiritually dead if you're not working the steps. You can have physical sobriety, but unless you have emotional sobriety, you may be missing out. I can't speak for anybody else. Now it says, here's the deal. Here's what we're going to cover. If I want to live, anybody want to live, I have to be free of anger. Now it doesn't say you can't be angry, but you want to be free of it. You don't want it to, we all have the emotion, but we don't want it to dominate us. I don't want to be enslaved to anger. I want to be free of anger. Now here's the problem. I can't be free of anger on my own. I tried to do that. I couldn't. I need God. It starts with God. I used to try to be free of anger. And sometimes when you do that, you get even more angry. And so it's hard. It's not, I can't, don't have the power to be free of anger on my own. It has to come from God. It says, the grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. Brainstorm is not being real smart. In 1939, it meant rage. Any alcoholics ever get rage? It says, it may be the dubious, which means it may not even be true, luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, it's poison. Being angry is poison. It's angry, even for a short time for me today, is poison, but the anger we carried when we came in here was killing us, right? And then, you know, you've all heard that I drank poison hoping they'll die. That's what a resentment is. It's killing me, but I want them to die. And none of this has anything to do with them. If you notice, these paragraphs doesn't mention them at all. It's all about me. So here we're going to cover 1, 2, 3 paragraphs. I should have counted the words because I don't know how they wrote this. I don't know how they put it together. But it's changed my life. And if I guarantee you, if you follow the instructions on these 3 paragraphs, your life will change. You don't have to get real smart. You don't have to get intuitive knowledge. You don't have to find your inner child. You don't have to do any crap, but do the things in these 3 paragraphs and your life will change, and it will change every minute. And then here's a hint. You're going to need to do these every day for the rest of your life. And the better you get at doing it, the quicker, the better your life will be. And this is how I stay close to God and perform His work well. So it says, we turn back to the list. So they're telling you to write a list. Now, a lot of alcoholics don't want to follow instructions. So they'll do it their way. But if you have the list that they suggest you make, it's going to hold the key to your future. Now, that's a pretty powerful line. You think they really mean this? So if you want a future, the key to it is to do a list of 3 columns. How hard can that be? And it says, I am prepared. Now that's the thing, I have to be prepared. I have to want to change to look at it from an entirely different angle. We've looked at it, in our own mind many times from the first three columns. Now, what I do with new people that I work with, I'm staring at Ryan, we do the first three columns, and then we read these, and then we look at the resentment from a different angle. And it's amazing how you can take a resentment for years, and within a few minutes, you look at it from a different angle, you can change the way people see it. And it says, so are you prepared to look at it from a different angle? If you get angry today, are you prepared to look at it differently? And it says, we began, this is the first thing you see, is that the world and the people really dominated us. Now, I hope you see that, because that's the point of it, to see that all these people on your list, they were your higher power. They were your God. They had power over you. And I began to see the world and its people really dominate us. Anybody else see that? In fact, if you're a real alcoholic, I really believe this, but I can't say for you, but if you're a real alcoholic and you look back at your whole life, you will see how you were angry at so many people from your early childhood. They bothered you. You felt, you know, you felt that you weren't good enough. You had some negative feelings towards so many people just because of the way I felt about myself. And I don't know if that's true for you, but I saw that for me. It says, in that state, the state of people and the world and the people dominating me, if I'm in that state, the wrongdoing of others, what I thought they did wrong, fancied or real. Now, most of the wrong the people did to me weren't even real. It was in my head. It was fancied. And I could tell when people didn't like me. I could tell when people didn't approve of me. I had this inner sense. It was ridiculous. The wrongdoing of others, fancied or real. Now, here's the first thing you're going to learn. It has the power to kill me. My state of mind, where the world's dominating me, and I'm looking at the wrong that they're doing from that perspective, it's going to kill me. So I have to change. It says, how am I going to escape? How am I going to change the way I'm seeing everybody that I'm angry at, every time I'm disturbed, every time I'm bothered? So here's a question. We saw that these resentments must be mastered. Anybody want to master your resentments and your anger? Well, here's a good question. How? So they're asking a question. How can I master them? So I'm going to label this, our resentments must be mastered, but how? Question. And then I'm going to write the four prayers, which we're going to see. So it says, we could not wish them away any more than alcohol. So if you're an alcoholic, you have a lot of anger, your resentments, your life of futile and unhappiness, you get to this point. Now, they're not going to tell you what to do. They're going to tell you what they did. This is why this is a powerful book. It's not a self-help book. They're going to tell you what they did, and if you want to do what they did, do it and see if it works. Now, I know it works because I do it all the time. So the first thing they did is they realized, that means to see, to make real, that the people who wronged us, the people who I think don't like me or get angry at, were perhaps spiritually sick. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on that, but what it means to me is that they're human beings. They're human beings, they got their personalities, they're in their own self-centered world just like I am, and they're out there. And so it says, though I did not like that, that means everybody's a human being and everybody has their personality. And though we did not like their symptoms, the way we saw them and the way they bothered me, they, like me, were sick too. Now, that's saying that I'm a sick person too, so I was on other people's resentment list. Somebody may have a resentment against me today in the room. Get over it, please. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed me, they, like me, were sick too. So we're all brothers, our father. We're all God's kids. We all have our personalities. None of us are perfect, right? And we have to accept people as they are and react as God sees them through love. So here's the instructions. It says we asked, and then ask, you know, I looked it up. Ask, you know, in spiritual terms in the Bible, when they use the term ask, it means with a sense of faith and expectation that it will be done. So when we ask, it's a form of prayer. When we ask God, in the big book, it's like the book of James, when you ask, it's all throughout the New Testament, the term ask is with faith and expectation that it will be done. So I ask God, the first thing I do is to help me. Now, I'm going to say this and people are going to get upset. I don't care. There's nothing in here about praying for the other person. That's in the Freedom from Bondage chapter that was written in 1972 in the big book. Now, that may work for you, and that may be great. I'm not commenting on that, but it's not in what they did, people who wrote this book. Because it's all about me and changing my attitude. Of course, I could pray for them, but that's not going to change my attitude. Now, some people might say it will, and that may work for them. That's fine. I'm just giving you the instructions in here. I ask God to help me show them the same tolerance. That means acceptance, pity. You feel sorry for them. Patience that they're cheerfully grant a sick friend. So when somebody bothers you, you say, well, they're sick like me, and they can't help it. I want to have tolerance, pity, and patience for them. So that's the first prayer. God, give me tolerance, patience, and pity for anybody that bothers me. So I say that automatically. That's the first prayer. Then when a person offended, I say to myself, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful? You see, we're changing the way we see them. It's not about us anymore. It's about changing the way I see them. So I see, how can I be helpful to them? Remember, if we're helpful to someone, we can't be hating them. So we're changing the way from being angry and hating somebody to being love, patience, and pity, and how can I be helpful? And we do it within two lines. It doesn't take long to do it. So the second prayer is, how can I be helpful to him or her? They're just a sick person like me. Then the third prayer is very complicated. God, save me from being angry. Now, there's some powerful words in the way they wrote this. It's God, save me from my anger. It has nothing to do with them. Save me from the bondage of self, the bondage of being angry. Save me. I say it all the time. In fact, now when I get disturbed, I don't want to have to go through the four prayers. I just say, you know, it is what it is, and they are who they are, and God, you know, I love them. So when you get used to doing this a lot, it helps you. You can get undisturbed fairly quickly if you want to. God, save me from being angry, thy will be done. It works every time you put the name in. Now, if you have your resentment list, everybody I work with, they take each name, and they say the four prayers, and they keep saying it, and this is how you forgive. By saying these prayers, you forgive them, you see them differently. They're not the enemy anymore, they're just human beings. And remember, what we want to practice in every situation is love, right? Because love is God, and we want to bring love in every situation. And this is how we change from bringing resentment or anger or ourselves to bringing God in every situation, practicing love. So that's four lines. I didn't count the words. Now, here's a powerful suggestion. Don't retaliate or argue. It's not about winning. It's not about being right. We wouldn't treat sick people that way, right? If we destroy our chance of being helpful. Those are powerful suggestions, right? Don't retaliate or angry. Don't try to change them and the way they think. Just change the way I am. And I guarantee you, if you change the way you are, they change the way they are. They talk about that in that acceptance chapter. When he stopped belittling his wife all the time, she began to look better. And then she treated him better. And remember, whatever we bring in every situation is what we get. We read that into Wise, remember? Last time. It's powerful. If you bring love in, you're going to get it back. You bring hate, you're going to get hate back. It says we cannot be helpful to all people. That's something I have to remember. I can't be helpful to all people. Why? They don't want it. And so I have to remember that. But here's the thing. Here's the last prayer. At least, God, show me how to take a kind and tolerant view of each and every one. Now, how hard is that? That's it. freedom from anger, freedom from the bondage of self. Whenever you're disturbed, anything bothers you, you just say, they're spiritually ill just like me. I don't want to be disturbed. There's something wrong with me. God, show me how to be tolerance, pity, and patience towards them. God, how can I be helpful towards them? God, save me from being angry at them. I can't be helpful to them, but give me a kind and tolerant view of every human being. Now, I guarantee you, if you do that, anytime you're disturbed, your life's going to be better. Now, the key thing about this is it doesn't change them at all. It just changes you and the way you see them. And remember, we don't want to change them anymore because we can't. We have no power. We only want to change ourselves. So this is about how I change the way I see the world with God. And the first time you do it, I love it when you work with a new person, they have this long resentment, and after 10 minutes they look, and you can see it in their eyes. You know, Dad never loved me. I said, well, did he ever go to work? Did you have food? Did you have a place to live? Did he ever take you to the ball game? You see what I mean? You can change within a few minutes how people see. And then you say the prayers. And so to me, this is how I practice forgiveness. Now, it doesn't say anything here about excusing bad behavior. This isn't about excusing someone. There's behavior that it's unexcusable. But it's telling you in every situation, you can practice a change of your attitude towards them. And they don't have to have power over you no matter what they did. And this has to do with victimization, long-standing resentments, abuse situations, whatever. It applies to everything. So I hope this was helpful. It's changed my life. The only regret I have is that I don't do it right away all the time. But I'm getting a lot better. And like Ed says, I want to feel good. And so, but I suggest if you're new, you make your list with somebody, you go through them. And notice, next week we're going to get to what was my mistake. Now everybody talks about the resentment in their part, but they don't focus on these four paragraphs before you get to your mistakes. Because you can't see your mistakes if you still hate the other person. You want to see that person from a position of neutrality, and then I can see my role. So it's very powerful how they laid this out. The first column, what they did, what I thought they did, how I was threatened, say the prayers, forgive them, put them in a position of neutrality, change my attitude, and then I can look at the situation and see the truth of it from my part and my character defects. So I blabbered enough. I'll open it up, and I hope it was helpful. Thank you.